This is the musical voice of Scheherazade. Remember her? She's the young princess who kept her husband, the insipid king, from executing her by telling him entrancing stories. Wouldn't you spare her life, too, just to hear more? More than a century after it was written, Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade remains a hugely popular orchestral work. It's based on the Persian stories, A Thousand and One Nights. Scheherazade is also a favorite of Maestro Marin Alsop, who performed recently with the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. She joins us in our studios. What a pleasure to have you back with us.
It's wonderful to be here. Thanks.
Rimsky-Korsakov called this piece a kaleidoscope of fairy tale images.
I think that's a perfect depiction of it because it's not a literal portrayal. It's really almost a woven experience. So we hear Scheherazade's voice, and then we have these different themes representing different topics, different characters, and they're all woven. As soon as you think you're going one direction, it takes a turn, you know, as she changes her story. And it really is like a kaleidoscope of tales, I think.
It's a symphonic suite.
Correct. But it's interesting the way he structured it because it's in four separate movements.
Now, the first movement is called The Sea and Sinbad's Ship. This is the sea. These are the unfolding waves.
Yeah, can't you hear the undulations back and forth and up and down? And what's amazing is the way Rimsky-Korsakov doesn't make anything obvious, and nothing's actually symmetrical. So all the phrases are five-bar phrases instead of your typical four-bar phrases. And every time you think you're at an arrival point, harmonically he goes somewhere else. So she's already weaving this tale that the king can't quite follow, so that he's drawn into her storytelling.
Does every character introduced in the piece have his or her what amounts to theme music?
Pretty much. I mean, it's almost like a mini opera, little drama going on. So at the very, very opening of the piece, you hear this huge brass theme. And this represents the king, the sultan, and his voice. And that will obviously return throughout the piece as he tries to interrupt her or move her along.
Characters change as the stories progress?
Yeah, the quality of the themes takes on really different attitudes as you go along. I think the most telling is the king or the sultan's theme, which starts out so gruffly and then gets more and more excited.
Let's hear another theme, the young prince of the second part. Now, what's this music saying to us?
Well, this is depicting what is called the calendar prince. And by calendar, we don't mean, you know, schedule prince, but means a magician. And so you hear thematically, this is a very almost abracadabra kind of, you know, what you see is not what you get, that's something up your sleeve kind of. And also I love the exotic quality of it. You know, it starts in the bassoon, then it goes to the oboe. He keeps it in these sort of unique woodwind sounds.
Was Rimsky-Korsakov a composer that tried to work Russian themes in Russian culture, as opposed to ones derived from, let's say, Western European music into his?
Oh, definitely. I think that the colors of the Russian folk music, it's almost everything's in technicolor with Rimsky-Korsakov. And his renown really is for his orchestrations, the way he was able to expand the palette of the orchestra. And you can hear this in Scheherazade. You know, he uses little triangles and the tambourine comes in and all these just small touches that make such a huge coloristic difference.
When you tell musicians they're going to be playing this piece, do they get excited?
It's interesting because this is a piece that used to be hugely popular in the concert hall. And I think it sort of cycled out for a while, and now it's starting to come back again. And it was always a favorite with the public, and I think musicians love it because it's such an opportunity for them to be in the spotlight. I mean, there are enormous solos, not just the depiction of Scheherazade by the concertmaster in these incredible violin solos, but the clarinet and the bassoon and the flute and the oboe and the horn. They're all featured in a very spectacular way.
Let me ask about the third section, The Young Prince and the Young Princess. Now, this opens with a new musical theme. Now, this sounds as if their eyes have just met.
Yes, but they're a little bit shy, too.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, it is so, I mean, it's so heartfelt, though, and sweet, isn't it? It's an absolutely beautiful movement, and thematically, it's just lovely. And it provides, I think, a wonderful respite, in a way, from the themes that we've been hearing, because this is something completely new.
Yeah. Well, it's very touching and romantic, but, I mean, you know, does it lead anywhere? Let's put it that way.
Oh, does it lead somewhere. I mean, it definitely gets pretty hot and heavy in the middle of this section, the third movement, and this is romance, really, at its height. But of course, like everything, it's worth waiting for.
Kind of hard to hold on to the baton.
Yes, well, oh, well, it was good for me. How was it for you?
just wonderful. The final section is called Festival at Baghdad, the Sea and Shipwreck. That's an awful lot to cover.
It is, but, you know, you got to wrap it up quickly at the end of the story, and he's trying to sum everything up.
What does he do to tie all of these themes together?
What happens is at the beginning of the last movement, first we hear the theme of the king or the sultan. And that's in this hurried, rather frenetic character now where he's saying, come on, you got to tell me the end of the story. Because, of course, Scheherazade is weaving these stories in order to avoid being executed.
So she has a clear motive to keep on talking.
So she is highly motivated, and she's trying to drag it on as long as possible. And he's, you know, I want to hear the end. And, you know, the beauty of this piece is that through her storytelling, she was able to distract the sultan long enough that he forgets to tell the executioner to come back. And so there are no women that are put to death again after her incredible tale-telling.
Maestro Marin Alsop, thanks very much for being with us again.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Marin Alsop is conductor of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra and the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra in England, talking this week about Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade. And we're listening to a recording of a concert Marin Alsop conducted just last week with the Baltimore Symphony and concertmaster Jonathan Carney. You can read an essay by Maestro Alsop and hear more of the music from Scheherazade on our website, npr.org.